For centuries, Pacific Islanders have been sharing stories that connect us across the region. Stories from the Pacific is a weekly program that continues that tradition, bringing you deep and personal stories from a diverse range of people. Athletes, farmers, artists, teachers, activists, entrepreneurs, all united by their Pacific heritage and incredible journeys.
Listen to Stories from the Pacific on your favorite podcast app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nisian Footy with Sam Wykes and Jinirao Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
It is Fiji Language Week this week, so bula to our Fijian audience and welcome everyone to Nisian Footy, the go-to place for Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name's Tinirao Arona, and alongside me each week is my man, Sammy Wykes. Happy Monday, brother.
Happy Monday. What a weekend we just had, and it is Fijian Language Week. Yes, set, brother. Lolovina, Nisan Bulovinaka, and Sototale.
You are a quarter Fijian, right? You've been there a few times.
A few times. Sototale is my favorite one because I see that.
What does that mean?
Like, I'll see you again.
Okay.
Because I see it at the airport when you exit out of Fiji to go through customs. It says Sototale. And I was like, yes, you will see me again for sure. So hopefully everyone's having a few cups of kava over in Fiji.
Are you going back to Fiji next year for the commentary of the draw games?
I hope so. That's the handshake agreement we have. No, nothing written on paper, no contracts to see. Sototale. That's what we do. But we have a massive show. Of course, we'll be talking about the NRL and NRLW grand finals, and they were both fantastic.
Oh, that's going to be the chunk of our show.
Do we have a, deep. Well, do you mind if we have a little ad break in there just to break it up, just a little bit of rugby stuff, just to
We've got to talk about rugby. That's right. Sorry, mate. I forgot about that one.
So we'll do that with the Wallabies and All Blacks wrap up of the rugby championships. And we have Shelley Long on to talk about the NRLW final. And, man, at the end, did you see the old Western Sydney handshake from Ali Anasio?
Yeah, there might have been a couple, emotions after the game.
But can't win the game, you win the beef. That's what they say.
I will say, before we get to our moment, though, I want to say a huge congratulations to the Brisbane Broncos. Yes, they won the NRLW and the NRL. It is a great time to be a Brisbane Broncos fan, if you are. So congratulations. Let's rip into our show, Sammy.
Hey, it's Payne Haase from the Brisbane Broncos. You are listening to Nisian Footy.
Payne Haase. He's been on fire, and yes, we have had him on this show before. Hopefully we can get him again just to talk about that big moment he had in grand final.
Did we have him on last? It was last year?
Yeah, I think it was last year.
So it was before he made his announcement on
playing it was
for Samoa. Yep. But yeah, man, I'm just honoured to have players like him, and we've also had Mele Hufanga, Shalom Sawoso, who's been on... who are all a part of the grand finals.
We've also had Stefano Tokomanu as well from the Storm, even though he was on the losing end of it. But
actually, those words between the two of them, Payne Haase and Big Steph. What's your thoughts, mate, before we get a little bit deeper?
Do you know, before we get into that, our chat and stuff like that, I actually felt like it, again, I could be just a bit skeptic here, I feel like it would have been deliberate just to drop a bombshell in there. You know how coaches do throwaway lines to get the distraction away from the team and you have someone doing it? For some reason, there's an inkling in me just saying that that was deliberate, but it worked for the first 40 minutes, and I don't know what happened in the second half, but I know we will dive.
We will get into the game. Yeah. We will get into the grand finals, both NRL, and we'll cover NRLW with Shelley Long. But before we get there, I do want to acknowledge our past players who got honoured during the grand final week. So what that looks like for these players, there were 20 players in total. Now, there's a fair few Pacifica players. We have Tim Lefai, who represented the Toa Samoa. Also, NRLW player Vanessa Foliaki, Ricky Litelli, who's won a competition for the Cronulla Sharks. We had David Fusitua and Ken Mamaolo, who both represented the Warriors. Marty Tapau and also Michael Cheekam from the Manly Sea Eagles. Sione Matautia, and who else do we have? We had Fa'amanu Brown, who was our first guest.
First ever guest on Nisian Footy. Yes, he was.
So they were honoured alongside other players because they are transitioning and retiring from the game of NRL or of rugby league, and they put on this cool week for them. So they have they're a part of the grand final luncheon where they go up on stage in front of the NRL corporate. They get honoured in that way. They also have so the RLPA, we have a past players and transitioning program where they put on a summit for them. So that summit, what that looks like is a few workshops to help, hopefully, they gain tools to help them with their transition, but also understand more about the program and what support they have there for them. And then they have this cool reunion in the evening where other past players are invited. Man, there were so many boys that went.
Give me
there.
Some of the big names there.
Oh, we had a couple of Cook Islanders. We had
Tinirau Aorona,
Brad Takarangi, Te Pai Moiroa, and Anthony Gelling. So we had a cool photo together.
Anthony Gelling, he's in New Zealand. He's a funny fella.
Just off the top of my head, Saifeki, he was another one. To see Saifeki, Ricky Litelli come together. A lot of those events are about connection, right? Like you're reconnecting to your past players, and everyone's had the same kind of experience. But that was a cool evening. And then if you watch the grand final, before the game, they had the lap of honour where they got to honour each player and have that moment where, it's a bit of a farewell. So just want to acknowledge those players. It's a cool week to be a part of, but it's also alongside a massive grand final week where we got to see those two games.
I love that about rugby league, that you have obviously the big focus point being the grand finals, but there's all these other stories and moments happening around the game, and it's such an important gesture from the NRL to recognise the players that are retiring and reconnecting some of the past players, because it is a big part of your life. You think it from the age when you're a teenager, that's all you want to do. It's all you want to do. And then when it's finished, it's like a big part of you feels like it's gone.
Well, you got to think too, like, so there was a doctor that spoke at the summit, and what the doctor said, she's like, I could never imagine someone coming up to me and saying, okay, you're no longer a doctor now. Now what?
It's a great example.
So if you're deep into a career, like say your media stuff, now Sammy, if I go, all right, you're no longer a part of the media, you're not no longer a media person, now what are you doing? And if you haven't planned or transitioned into another career, that's where, there is support there available, and the RLPA and the NRL do a good job, making sure that transition is easy for the players.
You think about playing in front of that crowd. There's 81,000 people, and you're at the highest of highs. They compare winning a grand final to the birth of your child when you do have one. And then that stops. If you have to retire tomorrow and that's all finished, it's like, oh, wow. It's such a different feeling. So great job with the NRL and the RLPA for making sure there's that connection piece there and looking after all their players that have put on a jersey and crossed that white line to play.
Hi everyone, my name is Melvin Funga and you are listening to Nation
Footy. Melehu Funga.
Wasn't she on fire?
She killed it, and she got player of the match for the NRLW grand final, but man, she was such a enforcer for the Brisbane Broncos NRLW team. Now, let's dive straight into this grand final. We'll go with the NRL and then Shelley will cover NRLW. But
yep,
the comeback kings. You look at the Brisbane Broncos and the journey they had to have to get to the grand final. Let's rewind all the way to the start where their preseason. There were comments around hard training, army camps, Michael Maguire being the new coach, how he's bringing this old school feeling back into a new young group. You'd think about all the emotions, the fatigue that the boys are carrying and thinking, what are we doing this for? And for them to get the job done, grand final week against the Melbourne Storm. Not only that, last week they had to beat the Penrith Panthers. So the back-to-back-to-back-to-back champions come back from behind, which has never happened. What was the stat? It was like 98 games where they were ahead by 12 or more points. They hadn't lost the game in 98 games, and Brisbane Broncos had to do that. The week before that, there was the Canberra Raiders who thought they would have won the game twice, and they go to the 93rd minute, and the Brisbane Broncos winning and icing that game. So that road to the grand final, and then be down at halftime 22-12 to the Melbourne Storm. This is no like Melbourne Storm were in the grand final last week. They've been the standard for the whole NRL competition this year. They're down by 10 points at halftime, and they come away with the win 26-22. Storm not scoring one try in the second half, and the Broncos get the job done. Man, what an achievement.
Man, it's quite remarkable when you think about how deep they had to go in semi-final football to win those games. What you just said there, about 98 times Penrith have led and gone on to win, but they broke that one. I heard another one too, that with the Storm, when they've led at halftime in final series, they haven't lost. The Storm, when they've led at halftime in a finals game, they have not lost. And that got broken on the weekend. And what a performance, honestly. When you just, the game itself, you just never thought that Melbourne would look comfortable being in the lead. And then you just felt like something's going to happen here. Something is going
to
happen.
Well, let's go to the game. First quarter or the start of the game, Brisbane Broncos get off to a good start. They score in the opening minutes through an unbelievable one half a break and then pass from Reece Walsh to Dean Mariner on the wing.
Put it down, son.
And then
I couldn't believe it.
And he plays with the dead ball line. Tippy toes, and then gets the try.
First scoring opportunity of the grand final for the Broncos as they go to the right. Walsh receives from Reynolds, and Walsh puts a pass to the wing. Dean Mariner scores before the Storm touch the ball. As long as he hasn't gone over the dead ball line.
Even after the try was awarded, they had to wait. The bunker had to make sure that he did not get a blade of dead ball paint on his boots. But that's how it started. And then you just see the momentum shift into the Melbourne Storm's hands, where they just seem to get faster play the balls. I thought Eli Katoa, man, that first half, I said at halftime, if he has if he plays half the way he did in the second half and they go on and win the game, he will most likely be Clive Churchill medalist. He was throwing cutouts. He was throwing off. He had four offloads in total. He was even taking tough carries in the back end. He was unreal for the Storm in that first half. They end up going down, scoring their 22 points. But Reece Walsh, again, I reckon he scored one of the greatest grand final, individual grand final tries.
Was that on the fifth tackle? That was on the fifth tackle as well, I'm pretty sure.
Fifth tackle, fast play of the ball, and he just sees this gap, comes from one side of the ruck, the right side, comes to the left, screams for the ball. Now the hooker just hears Reece Walsh's voice, goes, here you go,
thank
mate,
you.
Go do your thing. And he just breaks through tackles, palms off Ryan Papenhuyzen, and then has to break another two tackles just to get over the line. Man, he put his body on the line. It's one of the greatest grand final tries I've seen.
Hetherington, an outside in play and almost going through is Hetherington. He's tackled 22 out. Quick play the ball. Walsh receives from dummy half. Reece Walsh bounces off tacklers, bounces off the uprights, but bounces to Steenan in the in-goal area and plants it successfully to score a try for Brisbane.
Man, that try, you know what I loved about that palm too? It was like that front on palm, where Papenhuyzen, he's up high and he shows him his chest. And you just see that powerful fin just come out and go, whooshka, and then he goes over and scores. But then I thought Jerome Hughes' try was a great grand final try. He saw Paddy Carrigan just over-track him. And you see that a lot in league, like with the fatigue that kicks in. You know you can't over-track on people with good footwork. But just as he got off the line, Paddy Carrigan, boom, Jerome Hughes goes through and scores. I thought, oh, is that a turning point?
Well, I mentioned last week, remember I said if the Storm get those fast play the balls, you have to worry about Harry Grant.
Yes.
And you have to worry about Jerome Hughes and Cam Munster. Now, what Harry Grant was doing, he was toying with the markers. He kept coming out one way. If it didn't work out, he'd go the other way. He'd get out to the defenders, pull up, then pass the ball. But because his pass is so crisp, he was finding players at speed. Now, that try with Jerome Hughes, he actually comes out to the left, nothing happening. He comes back to the right, and then the markers, if you think you're a marker, you see Harry go one way. Oh, yep, he's going back the other way. Okay, now they switch off for a second. He spins the ball to Jerome Hughes. Jerome Hughes sees that gap, goes right foot, catches those lazy markers, and you'd think that try on the 34th minute, that was the one that was going to lead him into the halftime break with momentum. Also, Ali Katoa scores for the Storm as well.
We caught it. It was going to be off a kick. It wasn't quite the aerial.
It was a little grubber
in behind.
But, geez, I'd love to see or hear what was said at halftime to the Brisbane Broncos. Down by 10 points, Michael Maguire, they've been there before. They've been there recently, the last two games. And there was an image on TV where it shows Michael Maguire in front of addressing his team at halftime. I didn't see one sense of frustration, one sense of stress. He looked very calm. It was like more, hey, let's just trust our process. I said also last week, discipline would play a big factor. Now, I know the Broncos, probably the poor discipline led them to the possession and the Storm getting a lot of ball. And I know he had said that he addressed the discipline at halftime, saying, fix up the discipline, back our defense, and we'll get the job done.
Hey, just on that at halftime, obviously they've had plenty of practice the last few weeks around, hey, we've been in this position before, we know what we need to do. What do you reckon was being said in the Melbourne Storm change room? Because there's a part of me thinking that subconsciously they're worried about the comeback from Brisbane. So the focus is on them, not necessarily on us, so to speak. It's like, we know they're coming. We know they've got the good last 20 minutes, so we've got to do this, this, and this. But what do you reckon happened in that change room?
Yeah, to me, they lost a lot of ball. So you gave Brisbane Broncos a lot of ball to be able to, and I think they just had to do so much tackling in that first part of the second half and ended up fatiguing them in the long run. And, you know, when you've got a team like the Broncos where they're known for their second half performances this year, yes, they would have thought, okay, we have to expect them, they're going to come out even stronger. Now you're taking away the attention from your own performance. But I think that was more, you know, the errors that they had in those first couple moments.
And Tui, if he scores that, are we having a different conversation?
That's my moment. My moment of this game, which is probably underestimated, but Tui Kamithamitha. So Melbourne Storm, they're attacking the Broncos try line. I believe it was Jerome Hughes or Cam Munster.
Cam Munster.
Nothing was happening. He puts a little grubber in. Tui runs, gets the ball in his hands. He reaches out to score the try. That try would have put them ahead by 16 points. Reece Walsh comes over, boom, hits him. Doesn't hit the arms, just rocks him a little bit. Tui drops the ball. So a try saver from Reece Walsh. If he scores that, momentum shifts back to the Storm. But since that try saver, Reece Walsh, from then on, they just had all the momentum in that second half. And I thought that was one of the biggest moments, if not the biggest moment, because the very next set, they run down the other side of the field and Gamet Shibasaki ends up scoring a try off another cutout pass from Reece Walsh. So Reece Walsh ended up having three try assists. He scored one of the greatest tries, but the things that caught my eye about his performance was the defense. So he had that try saver against Tui. He also had a try saver when Ryan Papenhuyzen makes the break off that scrum and he's about to go run down, score the try that would take him ahead. It was like he tracked him down in 10 meters.
Yeah, I did see that. Yep.
Saved the try. And then the last one, Ali Katoa. So they're down by 4 points. Ali makes a break and then he puts all his eggs in one basket. Instead of going for the tackle, he went for the intercept, try and knock the ball down, stops the try. And the rest is history.
Mate, is that Reece Walsh? Is that one of the best individual performances you've ever seen on Grand Final Day on the biggest stage in the NRL calendar?
Yep. See, I put him in the, I was watching last night and I'm like, man, this guy has automatically put himself in the frame of Billy Slater, Jarryd Hayne. Now, remember Jarryd Hayne's run to that Parramatta Eels Grand Final. But
the only thing, he didn't win the Grand Final. He didn't win it.
Benny Barber, another one.
Yep.
But he's probably put himself above just the way that he individually handled that game. Yeah.
I thought Cleary's 20 minutes when they played against the Broncos, you have to say that has to be one of the best individual 20 minutes, but for someone to do it for the whole 80 minutes, take my hat off to him.
What were your thoughts on Painhouse's performance?
I was expecting him to go the 80 and just from the week before, but I just thought it was a smart tactic. You know, I think he played right up until about 10 minutes ago or something around there.
He came out for rest. Him and Stefano.
Yep.
Stefano came off the set before.
And then came back on. And I just thought every, like, probably didn't have the bigger, like, as big as impact he did the week before, but enough of an impact where every time he got the ball, the crowd went up, but he just looked like he wanted it.
He wanted it.
He wanted it. Because there was a time where he came back on and he was expecting to get the ball, but they played behind him and he was filthy. He was filthy. But I'm so happy that someone like Payne has won a grand final. He is a role model and I just love everything about him.
I liked Dee Mariner, the winger.
For the Bronx.
He had the most carries in this game, 21 carries. A lot of those carries coming out of his own end, and he ended up running for 217 meters. So remember how I said, if you can get the front foot, if you can get the quick play of the balls, then the rest of that set, you usually go towards the other end of the field. So obviously, but Dean Mariner, obviously. I thought he was he was another standout for me in this game. So what a ride for the Brisbane Broncos. You know, we said 10 points wouldn't be enough for the Broncos.
It had to be 40 with 10 minutes to go. Like that was the only way it was going to be enough.
Being in front, but yeah, just the journey they've had this year. I think there's been some really cool stories across that team where you had, you know, Ben Hunt, 11 years, he had to wait for another opportunity to win a grand final. Not many people get to win grand finals. To get to a grand final, lose one, and then have to wait another 11 years. And remember, Ben Hunt was a part of that team that lost to the Cowboys.
He dropped that ball.
The greatest grand final in history. And he had a couple moments where...
So when it went to Golden Point, he's off the kickoff. He's the one that he dropped the ball off the kickoff. And then the... Cowboys
went on and kicked the field goal first. You just see that relief, you know, how he got that job done. Adam Reynolds and Madge, when they won together at the Bunnies 10 years ago, they went there to Broncos, won that, had that moment again together.
You
know what,
just even you saying that, so you've lost your...
Both halves.
Experienced halves. Yep. And I thought when Adam Reynolds went off with his calf... It was seamless. You know what I mean? The transition of Hunt going into halfback here, Ezra Mann come back on. And they just looked like they clicked even more. But when you lost Ben Hunt to that concussion, I was like, how are they going to get out of this? And then that's when, again...
You know who stood up was Reece Walsh and Ezra Mann.
Both of those two players, both sides of the ball.
Yeah. Yeah, Ezra Mann, his defensive efforts were...
He was giving it to Warbrick.
He was giving it to him. He was on one end. They just looked real hungry, eh? And it looked like they were the fitter team. And I think that goes back to all the hard work that they done during preseason. So, man, my hat's off to the Brisbane Broncos. I thought, you know, even my Cook Island brothers, Xavier Willison, Brendan Piakuta, congratulations. I hope you're enjoying yourselves right now.
Get ready for Pack Champs. It's coming.
Pack Champs. Here we go. Season PG.
Plenty of great stories out of that grand final. And before we get to Shelley, because we still have plenty more, talk about big moments in the NRLW game. Where does this leave now? Oh, actually, we'll start with the Melbourne. Where does this leave the Melbourne Storm? Now they've gone to two grand finals and they've come up short. Like that feeling of, you could see the agony in their faces that they've fallen short again. Like, where does that leave them for next year?
Great question. I think they come back even stronger. I think they continue working hard. Harry Grant, man, he's such a professional and he's got a lot of class. I loved his post-match interview.
Oh, he handled that so well. I'd be bawling my eyes out.
Yeah, but just to compose himself and, you know, acknowledge everyone that he needed to after losing the grand final and then to say, we'll go back to the drawing board, we'll work hard next preseason and we'll come back even stronger and hopefully... You know, he mentioned, he goes, we were here last year, we're here this year, and we'll do our best to get here next year. But yeah, look, I think they come back even stronger. This year, I thought it was one of the best competitions I've seen in my lifetime.
I would have to agree.
Because did not know who was on the wing.
But the Broncos. Can they go on a run?
I don't see why they don't become they do what Penrith Panthers have done.
They've got an old... The halves pairing. Like, who's stepping into those shoes?
You've seen what happens when the halves both left through injury last night.
Very true. You're very true.
They end up going on and winning the game. But as long as they've got the leaders there to guide them, they've got enough youth to be very successful for a long time. In Payne Haas, Reece Walsh, Ezra Mamm, even the young Cook Islanders, Brendan Piakuta, Xavier Willison, Dean Mariner's still young, so there's not, you know, when you look at, you know, Daniel Tupou at the Roosters, you know, early third and like mid, going towards his mid 30s, they don't have those players other than Ben Hunt, Adam Reynolds.
Do you know what? Got a hypothetical for you. Got a hypothetical for you. You know, big players, everyone wants to go play with big players. Isaiah Katoa comes off contract next year, I believe. Might be the year after. I think it's next year. Do you think the Brogs go after him for a halfback? Because I think Adam Reynolds only got one more year next year.
I'll be totally honest. He probably would have to take a pay cut because you've got Reece Walsh and
Haas. But
also, for his legacy, does he want to get Dolphins their first ever premiership and be that guy? Or does he take a pay cut, go to Brisbane Broncos where things might be not easier, but...
It's settled. You've got Reece Walsh, you've got Payne Haas, you've got like Paddy Carrigan, you've got those guys now, they've set a standard. It still might be another, I don't know how long it might take the Dolphins to get into even a final series, let alone a grand final.
I don't even think he'll leave.
Yeah, he's too loyal. He's a loyal.
Well, Christian Wolf being a Tongan coach as well. Speaking of Tonga, hey, the Tongan rugby league team will be, if you are listening from Tonga, they'll be in Tonga next week on their pre-Pacific Champs
camp. I love that. Yeah, how good.
But yeah, we've got plenty more rugby league to talk about, but let's talk about this Kangaroos announcement today.
I'm looking at these names here. Wow.
So they're going over to England for the Ashes tour. They get to play three games over there. And geez, I'll start with it.
The one
we've been waiting for. Mark Nawanga Nitawase is going to play for the Australia Kangaroos. He'll be going over to England and he'll be playing them in a tri series. So we've got Mark Nawanga Nitawase, another one who was new to the Kangaroos. Keon Kolomatangi.
I didn't see that one coming.
From Tonga, he's gone to Australia.
Katoni
Staggs after winning the GF. And we also have Xavier Coates, the PNG Flyer. That's no surprise. Tino Fa'asua Maliawi. That was pretty funny when he said that he wanted to play for Australia and his ex-teammate Harry Grant said, oh, you already made the team, have you?
That's a very good-looking team.
But that's our Pacifica players in the Kangaroos team. So
Big Marky Mark. He's going to be a dual international. How good's that? Representing the Wallabies, and now he's going to do it with the Kangaroos, and still gives hope for the Rugby League World Cup. Correct me if I'm wrong again, I know we've said it a few times, but you know my memory, it's like a goldfish. So they're still, even though they choose to play on this Ashes, they can still represent, say, Fiji or Samoa, Tonga or PNG in next year's World Cup.
Yep. Okay. So next year's Rugby League World Cup, that's held here in Australia. And I believe they're going to have games in PNG as well. The boys that are playing in for Australia and New Zealand, they can still switch next year to a Tier 2 team, including Tonga, Samoa, Cook Islands, PNG, and Fiji.
To me, that's a no-brainer. Get the best of both worlds. Why you can do it within the rules? I think that's an unbelievable opportunity for those type of players to be able to do that. I think, good luck to them. And I'll definitely be tuning in now knowing that Marky Mark and Keon Kolomatangi, Xavier Coates will be lining up for the Kangaroos.
A couple other players just to mention who are new to the Kangaroo squad. Reece Walsh. I actually thought he's already played, but... Nah, he hasn't played for Australia. Reece Walsh.
He'll be making his debut. Test debut.
Ethan Strange, another one from the Raiders. Gamet Shibasaki, off the back of a great State of Origin series. Jacob Preston, plays unreal for the Cowboys. And Blake Braley, the hooker for the Cronulla Sharks. So they're all your debutants for the Kangaroos.
Shibasaki. What a story, eh? Training trial, wasn't supposed to be in and amongst it. Kills it for the Broncos. Origin gets stood down for a little, you know, misdemeanor. Comes back, has
scores
a great grand final.
Scores two tries in the grand final.
What a 12 months he has had. Unreal. And I wish he was Palauan.
So that's the Kangaroos. We will go through the Jellaroos team with Shelley Long. But I believe until then, that's us in rugby league. But remember, you can hear them Pacific Champ games starting Saturday, October the 18th, live on ABC Radio Australia. So the Kangaroos are going to England. Now we still have the Pac Champs to look forward to. So they start on October the 18th, where you have the Pac Champs Cup, Pac Champs Bowl. I'll have to leave you for a couple of days, heading over to PNG to do some work over there.
Where shake a few hands, kiss a few babies. I know the right. That's the one, the royal wave. Yep. Tinadale is here.
The big game that I'm looking forward to is the Samoa versus Tonga game in Brisbane. Now, I think Stefano set us up for a really good grand final. Does it still carry on because Stefano has pledged his allegiance to Tonga and that will be he'll be coming up against Payne Haas and the Tor Samoa team. And you know what the boys are like.
Bro, the taunts from guys like Jerome and that, like, that's next level. I can only imagine there's no line when it comes to what will probably come out of their mouth in the game, I believe, to be able to get under the skin of some of those players. But again, it's just part of the game where you just got to own it, step up and
have a crack.
Have a crack. Have a crack. And the Tongans will be behind him. Don't worry about that. No one will be taking a backward step. Well, so it's everyone's actions will do all the talking.
I am looking forward to the Pac Champs. I'm definitely looking forward to that game. And if you want to hear them games, Pacific Champs, you'll be able to hear it live on ABC Radio Australia. We'll chat shortly with Shelley Long on the NRLW Grand Final, the Gillaroos, all Women's Rugby League. Now, let's head over to Rugby Union. What do you got for us, Sammy?
I feel like I don't want to talk about rugby after that. I feel like I'm a league convert now, honestly, with the amount of league that we talk about. It's got me excited.
Well, I'll kick us off then.
Thank you.
Bledisloe Cup. We've seen a tight game last week. Australia almost beating New Zealand if they had a good ref. But now, second game,
yeah,
bit disappointing, but they also had the additions of Will Skelton. So Australia lose to the New Zealand All Blacks, but how did my man Will go?
Look, yeah, you're right. Like, this was the second game of the Bledisloe Cup in Perth, 28-14 to the All Blacks. Wet and greasy conditions. Our man Will Skelton, he definitely had his presence early on. Lasted about, I think it was about 10 or 12 minutes because
something went.
He went and had a head injury assessment, didn't come back after.
Oh, it was a HIA. I thought you said like his hammy.
No, I took that pause there because he was bullying the All Blacks. he got this great turnover. Someone's come at him and he's just like got his big mitt and just swiped their head and like the penalty got reversed. But you could just tell he was ready to go. And then we just, we missed that. We missed that presence throughout the game. So, yeah, that wasn't to be there with Will Skelton.
Has he always been like that, like aggressive? Or was he growing into that player?
I think he's grown into that player like a little bit more.
For some reason, when he was a little bit younger, could always see the softer side of him. But yeah. I feel like recently, yeah, whether it was playing overseas or getting a different experience, but just that bit of...
I think he's just owning that, especially like over in France. You have to, there's big bodies over there, so they're expecting him to be the enforcer. And then just seeing him come back. And I reckon he's gotten fitter too.
Yeah.
Like, he's definitely gotten fitter. Like, he just keeps playing games back to back. And so his match fitness is through the roof now compared to probably it was maybe 5 or 6 years ago. So we missed that. But one of the big moments in the game, I want to show you this bit of footage here of Joseph Swali'i. I thought he had Lester Fainga'anukuhi on a hit.
He come off second best.
But when he launched like that, I thought Joey had him. That was Lester's first game back from in the black jersey too from France. But
I think he launched too early.
A bit too early?
Yeah, because by the time he's gone at contact, his other foot's off the ground. So it's like he's kind of flew into it. But yeah, you want your feet on the ground as you're stepping in for contact.
As you're stepping into him. But if Joey's launched himself into me like that, bro, that's me gone. I thought Joey had he was okay there again. Leniki Tau got a yellow card, but that centre pairing is the centre pairing moving forward. But what I do want to say is, T, this is where the Wallabies, if they didn't improve, this is where they need to improve at. We need Reece Walsh. Plain and simple. We need Reece Walsh.
Well, you know what you should do is go and message Mark, and while they're on this tour, to speak to Reece. Go, hey, bro, I reckon.
Do you know what? Don't stop at Reece. Get to Cleary.
Next year, we go play in the World Cup, win for Australia, and then we go to Rugby Union and play in that World Cup.
Imagine that. Well, I'd love for that to happen. But on a serious note, like I feel like
I thought you were being serious.
No, I am being serious in a sense of talking serious about, like, that's what the Wallabies, they need a spine, as in,
okay,
you need the fullback, you need a 10, you know, fly half, you know, the halfback in rugby league.
So Lee's been playing inside center?
Outside
center.
Lenny Kitau's been going great at 12, and the center pairing's there. So all the pieces of the puzzle around the ball players are there. So if Mark comes back in the fold, he'll go onto the wing. If Jordy Pataia, who's now not in NFL anymore, he's over at Racing Metro in France.
Oh, did
France.
He go to Union?
He's gone back to Union. That's a quality backline, but we just need a world-class elite 10 and fullback to complement the rest of the team. When you think of the cups that you haven't won in the last 30 years.
Well, when they were winning, what was their spine like then?
Stephen Larkham, George Gregan, Matt Burke. You know, world class.
Yep.
And then when you think of the teams that for England, when they won it, it was Johnny Wilkinson, Jason Robinson. You know, they're the type of players you need in your spine, because when I look at the big moments in rugby league that have unfolded in the last few weeks, who were the big players that stood up?
It's the spine players.
It's the spine players.
Ice games.
That's exactly what needs to happen. Like, that's why you spend big money on those type of players, because even though there was one grand final winner, but man, Cleary did a job to get his Panthers out of trouble, to get him into the semis. Cameron Munster, those type of players. So we have to, I'll be throwing, honestly, no word of a lie, I'd spend $3 million on Nathan Cleary to get him over to Rugby Union. And Reece Walsh.
Just a thought that come to mind, are there any halves that have transferred from Rugby Union to Rugby League? You know, like the likes of Angus Crichton. Oh,
Isaiah.
Well, there you go. See, so you should have invested in Isaiah.
I know, and all of them are young. So when you talk about, maybe not at the top end like that, but Isaiah during school rugby, and then you've got Anthony Large, goes to a rugby school. He's already gone to league.
See, I'd already start thinking about not this World Cup in 2 years, the next World Cup.
We need ball players. Absolutely, yep. Need ball players. But I thought that's probably the biggest difference in those games. Well done to the All Blacks for winning the Bledisloe again. South Africa, rugby champions, as in they've won the rugby championships because they beat Argentina and they are now back-to-back champs. And I want to finish on some real positive news here as well. Remember John Ulungia that we had on the show, the one that was in France?
Yep.
He's just been announced as the new Wallabies scrum coach to go on the spring tour at the end of the year and hopefully be their long-term scrum coach for the Wallabies leading into the World Cup. So big congrats to him.
How good. All right, well, let's head over to speak more rugby league with Shelley Long with The Long Story Short.
The Long Story Short with Shelley Long.
Shelley... Grand final. Let's rip straight into it. Let's skip the intro. No, no jokes. You are here with Shelley Long, our NRLW and PNG Orchid star. Last night's game, what were your thoughts?
Oh, last night's games, I lost fingernails, I tell you what. It was such a great game for the women's NRL. The Broncos did win 22 points to 18, but I tell you what, I was on the edge of my seat throughout that whole game. The Roosters came back pretty tough in the second half, and it looked like it was going to be quite close than what the score ended up as.
Yeah. It was such a physical game. There was a moment there in the back end where Broncos were trying to race down the Roosters, and then they put a little grubber in, and then there was a stoppage in play, and it had three of the girls.
It was carnage.
Three Roosters players. One, Rima Butler, with like this big bruise on her face. You had their hooker who had a big bruise on her eye. Another girl who was down with an ankle injury.
It was Isabel Kelly with her ankle. Yeah.
All the NRL games this physical? Or were they that physical?
I don't reckon there was a game as physical as that one. And like we saw in that game, all three players actually stayed on the field and continued to play through those injuries. Like, you're talking about Rima Butler, who looks like she's got a fractured eye socket there. Keely Davis couldn't see out of one eye, and then Isabel Kelly looked like she did her ankle. So it's incredible to see the physicality of that game, but also to see them still continue to play on in such what looks to be serious injuries for all three of them.
Let's start with the Roosters. Who stood out for you in the Roosters team?
Oh, for me, it definitely had to be Eliza Lopuama. she was incredible for the Roosters. I think had they have given her a little bit extra game time in the second half, I think she would have made a lot more impact than what she did. But in her, in terms of her performance, she was outstanding, hard to tackle, strong ball carrier, and really made the Broncos question defensively. But on top of that, I would say Rima Butler. I think in terms of the fact that they had quite big injuries leading up into that game, the middle pack had to have played bigger minutes, and both of those players did that really well.
Yeah, it seemed like the momentum of the game shifted with whoever had those earlier hard carries and got them on the front foot, and then it just seemed like the defensive end on both teams weren't able to handle the girls that you just mentioned. Now, those girls had a great game, but the Brisbane Broncos, there were a few there who were outstanding. Who stood out for you for the Broncos?
Oh, definitely the Karen Murphy medalist, Mele Hufanga. She was incredible for the Brisbane Broncos. She really stood up and took the game on. Her ball runs, her line breaks, you know, everything about her game was just incredible. And you talk about grand final moments, she definitely delivered those grand final moments, and I think was really well deserving of that Karen Murphy medal. So for me, Mele Hufanga, and also she sealed the game with that try in the 65th minute.
Play to Brill, comes left hand side, Broughton now, Hufanga, watch out, danger, she steamrolls, 1-2 and goes crashing over. Is she held up? Ref says try, Mele Hufanga.
Yeah, a great Nijin player that really took the game on.
Just on that try, try or no try?
Try.
You try? I thought it was 100%. Two. But, like, you know, there's just the comments saying, like, it did not touch the blade of grass. But I thought from that other angle, from behind, it just, like, that bumps. As in, it just touches and then she gets popped back up. But
yeah, it was the behind view, but the ref, when the ref called try, the bunker didn't have enough to say it wasn't a try. Now, if the ref said it was a no try, the bunker not had enough to say that it was a try. So it also came down to what the ref called it. Okay. So.
But Shelley, what's your thoughts there?
Oh, look, when I first watched it on the replay, the ball didn't look like it touched the ground. So it was a bit of a Owen moment. But then they did show one where it looks like it slightly touched a little blade of grass, came back up like T, you said. So, but you know what? I think give her the try. She had a great performance in that grand final. She deserved a try on the top of it. So let's reward her with that try.
Yep, Mele Hufanga got player of the match. Now, Shalom Sawoso, I feel like every time she carried the ball, it was like watching Spencer Lenu, leg speed, bumping off, leaving Roosters players on the
ground.
See
when Jess Serge has got up a bit ginger after Shalom ran into her, just got her bumpers up, and you just saw her holding her ribs or something like
and
that.
And she's only 18.
18 wow.
Years old. And, yeah, look, I know that they were trying to get her a try, but when they had that front foot, they gave her the ball, and she just barged over and scored for the Brisbane Broncos.
Right-hand side of the uprights this time, 3 metres shy. They come short side, and now Sawoso crashes over and might just little things up here at 18-16, kick to come Brisbane.
Just to mention her as well, she was named the Rookie of the Year across all NRLW, but what were your thoughts on her performance?
Again, another incredible player coming through the ranks. And I think she did score that try in the 60th minute. The Sydney Roosters, they definitely tried to stop her a few times from getting that try earlier on in the game. But for me, it was her powerful runs. You can tell that she's a union player because she gets quite low. She puts the bumpers out and she looks to move around in that space. So I think that transition from rugby union to rugby league has been really good for her. And I think that ability to continue to learn off of those players at the Brisbane Broncos has helped her develop into such a great player already at 18 years of age. So I definitely think there's a lot more to see of her in the game and in the future.
Reflecting on this season, is it what you expected? Did you think the Broncos were going to come away with this win and become 2025 premierships?
To be honest, I would have to say no. I think the Sydney Roosters, they were very dominant throughout the whole season. They haven't lost in such a long time. But I think in terms of the last couple rounds, they've lost key players that really impacted their ability to perform in tough games. And they've lost that half in Taron Aiken to really lead them across the park. I think in terms of Corbin Baxter, for instance, in that game, though, she had an incredible game at fullback. And I think had they have made some adjustments earlier into the game, I think they would have really come out a lot stronger in that grand final.
Just on those injuries, what about Naivindi just doing an ACL in the captain's run? Is that true? That's what it was, the reported injury, ACL, captain's run?
Yeah, from what I've heard, that is what has happened, unfortunately. I believe they were in the middle of captain's run, chased the ball down and has done her ACL. It's unfortunate news for Taina Naivindi because, you know, the Fiji team is looking at taking on that spot in the World Cup by going away and competing against other teams, and she would have been a key player for that team.
Now, the Broncos went in, NRLW team went in it, and I loved Male Hufanga's post-match interview when she's like, Brisbane City, stand up. Do you think that the AFL, so Brisbane Lions, they win their competition, the Brisbane Broncos NRL teams in the grand final, do you think that them two teams being in the GFs, it motivated the girls to want to be a part of that success as well?
100%. And I think you watch that game and you look at the crowd. The crowd was majority Brisbane Broncos fans. Their flags were flying high throughout that game. I saw not as many Sydney Roosters supporters, and I think that really helped boost the Brisbane Broncos' confidence in that game. Like when you're away and you're in another state, you don't expect to see so many supporters. And for the girls, I think that would have been great to see all of that support behind them.
Now, I've said that the NRL team can go back-to-back, the Brisbane Broncos. What about next year? Do you think these girls can do it again?
Take your Cowboys hat off as well, all right, when you...
That's okay. Taking my Cowboys hat off, it's going to be a tough one. There is a lot of movement in and amongst different clubs. I know the Broncos are potentially losing a bunch of players to the Warriors. There's going to be quite a bit of movement there. So I think they'll have to purchase some really good players that can come in and replace those players that are leaving the club.
Just South Wales signed at the Bronx from the Knights. So like in the halves there. So they've obviously got some quality players there, but
they're getting better.
Yeah, so that's what gives me the confidence where I feel like they could go back to back. If Southwell's giving it to Mele on the left edge, holy.
So just Southwell coming from the Newcastle Knights, which is a great segue to the next part. Gillaroos, the Australian women's team, just Southwell being named in this team. But I want to start off with a big one for me. Sala Tongatuki has been named in the Australia team.
She was supposed to break the news with us.
She hadn't told us, but that stood out for me. Now, when you look at that team, Shelley, what stands out for you with the announcement of the Gillaroos team?
For me, the key player that I love seeing in there at the moment is Sienna Lofipo. She will make her debut as a Gillaroos. I think that is really giving her credit for where her game is at this year, particularly being challenged by moving into the middle. She was playing at front row. She is still a very young and up-and-coming player, but I think her dominance in the middle was really shown in this NRLW competition, and I think it's really well-deserved by her to be in that squad. The other ones for me is Reema Butler. She had an outstanding grand final and I think outstanding season across the board, but also Yasmin Clydesdale's in there and Tiana Penatani-Gray as well. So I think, you know, to see so many Nijan players in that squad really represents how strong we're going over here in the NRLW.
Yes, this Gillaroos team will be playing the Fetu Samoa. The same day as Samoa play, the Tor Samoa play Tonga.
In Brisbane. No way.
So that's going to be a massive day for everyone attending on the October 26th, that game is. So lock the date in. We're in for a big one.
How do you think Samoa's going to go? They've shown some really good performances, and they've had some players really stand up this year in the NRLW. How do you think they're going to go?
I think they'll still go really strong, but I do think that, you know, the Jillaroos have set the standard for multiple years. They've been such strong competitors, and I think as well, when you look at the quality of the NRLW, I think Samoa might not get to where they would like to be in getting that win. They do lose Sienna Lofipo. She has now moved her alliance over to the Jillaroos, and I think, you know, it representing being able to represent all of your cultural backgrounds is such a blessing. And I think for her to be able to make that move over to the Jillaroos is really incredible and a great story for her. But I think in terms of Samoa, I think they might not get the biscuits at the end of the game, but I think it'll be a really strong competition.
You know what? I'd love to know where Shalom is.
Oh, she's going Samoa.
Samoa.
Yeah, I remember she said that at the back of last year's
So Shalom Sa also will be playing up with Aneta Claudia Nuasau.
There's that 1-2 punch again.
Up against Sienna Lofipo and Sala Tongatuki. What a day. That will be massive. Now, before we let you go, is there anything else that you want to cover in the women's rugby league space?
That's about it, but PM's 13 will officially kick off this coming weekend, sorry, as it's Monday. So keep an eye out on that game. And then as that wraps up, Pacific Championships kicks off. So that's super exciting news.
Beautiful. Great work, Shelley. Loved your work and have a great week.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week and see you next week.
Give me three answers for this one.
Yes, this is our game of categories. 3 points for grabs each week. And
3 points for grabs or up for grabs? 3 points
up for grabs or grabs, however you want to grab it. The loser has to shout the other host their partner spa day dinner. Now, I know this has been a heavy, heavy, heavy rugby league and rugby union show.
Mainly rugby league. But I'm going to keep it on rugby league.
Because it's the grand final, we had to spend time there. Let's finish off with a bit of a light-hearted competition.
With rugby league. Rugby league competition. Here we go. Hey, and it is 33-all.
Yes.
Man, it's a lot closer than last year. But it is my turn to ask the question.
Hey, speaking of that, when are these tattoos coming?
Oh, man, my tattoo artist has gone on holidays for the last 12 months.
All right, I'll get there.
You've got good tats, so I'd rather go to your tattoo artist than mine.
We're going to go see Clive Nicholas in the Cook Islands.
All right. Oh,
so meet me there.
We'll do the show there.
After Christmas.
Sounds good. All right. Done. We're going to go into categories right now. How's your history on rugby league grand finals?
Depends.
All right. Well, last night, there were a total of 12 players with Pacifica Island heritage between the Storm and the Broncos in their match day 17. You good with that?
Together.
Combined.
So out of 34, there were how many?
12. Okay. Prior to yesterday's grand final, when these two teams last met, was 2006. There was actually only 3 players total that had Pacifica Island heritage. Give me the 3 players across the Broncos and the Storm in 2006 when the Broncos won. And you know these players as well. Give me the
three.
There's 3.
2006. I think Petro. I'll go with Petro.
Petro Devonadeva. Devonadeva. He was one. He started in the front row for the Bronx.
All right, so Petro's one. I know Carmichael was there because I see in the photo. So he's
two. Yes, he's two. There's a Cook Island, and there's one more. I knew you were going to get 2, but this one will be tough. If you get this one, you deserve all 3 points.
2006. Melbourne Storm with and Storm. Brisbane Broncos. Was Lottie Takeri playing then?
Nah.
He wasn't playing in 2006. All right, give me a clue. Was
he's from Storm? The Storm?
Was it Storm?
In the front row. That's a good clue.
Oh, okay. I have no idea. I'm just trying to think. Who even played in that Storm 2006 team?
I want to say, I'll give you another clue. He's Tongan.
Oh, is it? It's Kafusi.
Yes, it's Kafusi. Antonio Kafusi. Yes. Hey. How good.
I was okay. I like that. I'll take that.
Oh, man. How good. I knew it was going to be like, it'll come down to that third one. And I was very generous there with my clues. But I was in a really happy spirit. I was in the mood, in the moment. But anyway. That's our time up for Nijan Footy Monday. Tell your footy loving friends about Nijan Footy. Find it wherever you get your podcasts or on the ABC Pacific website. You did a fantastic job during the NRL season.
Thanks, too. Mates. We will cover more on Friday because we've got Pack Champs Car Kitsen.
Let's go. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.